is Elmer Belko. I'm Francis Durham, the interviewer for the Northville Historical Society, and we're going to talk to Mr. Belko about growing up in Northville. He was born here, has lived here 66 years, with the exception of 3-plus years that he was in the service. I'm going to stop this now and check the tape. Okay, tape is back on, and I was saying initially that Elmer, Mr. Belko, was born here in Northville, born in July of 1922. How did your father move here from somewhere else?
He was a farmer owned a farm on 10 Mile Road, 10 Mile on Wixom Road.
10 Mile on Wixom Road. Okay, what kind of farming?
General farming.
General farming. Fruits, vegetables,
dairy
farming. Okay, very good. And how long did he own that farm?
That's a good question. I don't know. Probably 15 years, I would say.
Okay, now were you born on that farm?
No, I was born in Northville.
Born here in town. Okay, as you recall. Okay, Mr. Belko indicated that his father had a farm, and I was just asking when we turned the tape off whether or not he was born there, and he indicated no, he was born here in town. Do you have any idea how long your father owned that farm?
Not really.
No.
He owned it before I was born, so
no.
I really don't know.
Yeah. How did he happen to sell it and move into town?
He got sick.
That's it.
And couldn't operate a farm anymore.
Yeah. What about brothers and sisters? How many members of the family?
I had two brothers and a sister. Two brothers have passed away.
Okay, so they were older.
Yes.
And were you the youngest of the children?
I'm the youngest, yes.
Youngest of the children. And when your dad moved here into town, what did he do for a living then?
He started in the carpentry business, as a carpenter.
Okay, working for someone else or his own?
A Judd Hicks.
Uh-huh. And what kind of carpentry primarily?
Basically, they built barns, the old-fashioned barn raising. And then houses.
Uh-huh. Did you ever participate in any of that?
No, I used to go to some of the barn raising. They had some beautiful parties.
Now, these would be primarily in some of the neighboring farms then, where these barns were built.
The only one that I know is still around is the one on 8 Mile, the last one I knew they built.
It is what I've heard about these barn-raising projects. They were kind of cooperative projects where the farmers from neighboring farms would come in and assist.
Correct.
And so then the women, I presume, would prepare food and there'd be a big meal.
And then after the barn was done and complete, then they'd have a big dance.
Uh-huh. Okay, and the dance would take place right there at the farmhouse.
Right in the barn.
Right in the barn itself.
Right.
What would they use for music?
Oh, they'd have a violinist, a guitarist, probably a banjo player, an accordion.
Hmm. How many of those, as you recall, did you would actually see and witness?
I'd say about 4.
Uh-huh. Do you have any idea how old you were at the time?
Last one, I was probably about 15 years old.
Okay. That would really be kind of a form of entertainment then for the farmers.
Correct.
And I assume that the farmers were very close as far as cooperating with each other and friendly relationship between farmers. They helped each other out.
That's right.
While they might be in competition to some degree raising products for sale, still when it came to something that was needed like a barn raising or something.
When they fill silos.
Oh yeah, crops. Yeah, harvesting.
Right.
Would they help each other there and harvest? Okay, now did they all own their own machinery, or might they share some of this machinery in the harvest?
Well, when it came time to thrash and that, there was one or two people around that had a thrashing machine, and they would go to different farms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And your dad was in the dairy business primarily?
Right.
Okay. Milk or cattle?
Milk.
Milk. Okay. And what about where were the dairies located around this area? Do you have any idea?
I think most of the time they brought the milk in here to what they called condensery, which would be on Baseline.
Baseline.
Right to the railroad track.
Okay.
Now that is now Warren Products.
Warren Products. Okay. Did Guernsey exist at that time, or is that something that came along later?
No, that came along quite a bit later.
Okay. Okay. So then they would sell their milk to what you call the condensery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then it was bottled and sold from there?
No, it was more of it was condensed milk.
Ah, okay. Okay, that might be made into a product that was sold in the store, condensed milk.
And Lloyd Moore might have been in the dairy business that time. There was quite a few dairies around here, small dairies, individually owned. There was Don Miller, Lloyd Moore, and they had Twin Pines was out on 8 Mile Road. Cloverdale was out on 6 Mile and Ridge Road.
Okay.
There was a Dickinson Dairy on Center Street right at the foot of Walnut Street.
Uh-huh. Twin Pines had a plant out here then?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so Cloverdale is still around. Twin Pines is still around. So some of these dairies then have been in existence for a long, long number of years.
That's right.
Okay, so then your dad moved into town and went into the carpentry business. How many different homes have you lived in since you've been here in Northville?
Two.
Okay.
This is the third one.
So you're pretty stable then. Now, your dad, you say, was a carpenter himself. Did the home that you moved into, when we moved off the farm, did he build it?
No.
Or it was an existing home?
That was an existing home.
And eventually, did he build another house for the family?
Nope. He bought that in 1920 or 22.
Yeah.
And he lived there ever since.
Oh, okay.
Until he passed away.
Okay. Okay. As you recall now, well, let's talk first of all about school. Where did you go to school in Northville?
On Main Street.
And the name of the school, did it have a name?
Just called a grade school.
Just
which has burnt down.
Right. Okay, I've heard about that fire. How many grades were there in that school?
There was six.
First through sixth grade?
Seventh and eighth went to the high school.
Okay. Okay, so 7 through 12 was in a high school building, and then the first through sixth was in a grade school building.
Correct.
Okay. Are there any teachers that you can recall that you had a great deal of respect that you really felt that you got a good education because of these teachers?
That are still alive, you mean?
Well, not necessarily still alive, no.
Well, there's Ed Malma, the history teacher, was a fantastic teacher. Miss Giltner was the business teacher, taught shorthand and typing.
Mm-hmm.
Mrs. Cook would run the school with an iron hand.
And that's where the Cook School came from.
And Mr. Ameren, who just passed away, was one of the best as a superintendent.
I've heard that many times.
Yes. I don't know of anybody that didn't like him at all.
Okay. What kind of a program now? Elementary school was... Well, let me ask you this question. Comparing the kind of education that you got as a child to the kind of education that your children got who went to school here in Northville, how did you feel the two educations compared? Was there a difference in standards and discipline?
Yes. I think schools, but when I went to school, the discipline was a lot better. I think the education was better. I mean, people disagree with me. The teacher was law.
And they got a lot of support from the home.
Right.
Correct.
That's which they don't have now.
Yeah, okay. What kind of a program did you follow in high school?
Business.
Business, okay. And then did you eventually, after graduation from high school, what did you do with that business training that you had in high school?
I went to Detroit Business School.
Okay.
And then after that I went to service. And when I got out of service, I went to the post office.
Okay, how long did you go to Detroit Business School?
About a year.
Okay, and would you have continued if the war had not come along and you hadn't been drafted?
Yes, I probably would have.
Could have continued in Detroit Business School. Okay, then you went into the service and you were into the Army. And how long were you in service?
Three years.
And what kind of, did you receive any training there?
What kind of training?
Well, I mean, in terms of, you of course went to basic training, but then were you sent to any kind of schools or special training while you were in the service?
No.
Or the war was going on, they wanted to get you, were you sent overseas?
Yes, went to southern France.
Southern France. Okay. And you were in the infantry?
Right.
Okay, did you see action while you were in the service?
Yes, very little.
Very little.
We went into action in November, and I got hit in January, wounded in January, and they shipped me back to England.
Okay, and that pretty much ended your military career, or were you kept on some
They made me a rehabilitation officer,
yeah.
And then they shipped me back to France, and it was only there a couple of months, and then the war ended.
Okay, now when you say officer, were you a commissioned officer?
Yes, I received the battlefield commission.
Huh? Very good.
I was a sergeant one day and an officer and a gentleman the next.
And then when you finally were discharged from the service, what rank did you hold?
Second lieutenant.
Second lieutenant. Very good. Why did you get this battlefield promotion?
We were short officers. And I was doing an officer's work, and they found out it was better to make field grade officers than it was to get them out of OCS or officer's training.
Okay. Do you regret your military service time?
No, I could say I enjoyed it. I learned a lot of things, went places I would never see again. I wouldn't take $1 million for experience, but I wouldn't go through it.
Well, I don't blame you. I was happy to be in the Navy myself. Okay, so then you mustered out in when? When were you mustered out? 1945. Come straight back to North Ellis?
Yes.
Okay. And how old were you at that time?
23.
Okay. And once you got back to civilian life, what did you do?
I went to work to Ford Valve plant for a month, and then I went to work for the post office.
Okay, and the Ford Valve plant, which is right here in Northville.
Yes.
Okay. And now at that time, going to work for the post office, that's a civil service position today. Was it true then?
Yes.
So you did have to take some kind of a test.
Right, I had to take civil service
test. Civil service test. And then were you a mail carrier or were you a clerk working inside?
I was a substitute mail carrier.
Uh-huh. And how long did you hold that position?
About a year and a half.
And then what?
Then I went to a regular position as a regular mail carrier.
Okay. Where was your route located when you became a regular carrier?
They would be the north side of Northville.
North side of Northville. Now this is, I'm really straining your memory asking you some of these things, but how many houses were, how many, did that include businesses also?
Very few.
Okay, so it's primarily residential.
Residential.
How many houses would you have to deliver mail to?
About 400-450.
And that's all your route? One
right.
Carrier delivering all those?
Twice a day.
Okay.
We didn't deliver them. I mean, we walked our route twice a day, but you didn't hit every house twice a day.
Okay, I'd forgotten that. So there was a mail delivery twice a day.
Yes.
I'd forgotten that. That goes back a few years. Okay, now, and you've already answered the question. You said you walked, which is somewhat different than some of our mail carriers today who have vehicles to go back and forth. Now, you talked about the north side, and before we turn this tape on, one of the things you mentioned was that Northfield was really divided into two separate sections. One was called the north side, one was the south side, and the south side was subdivided into Bealtown and Orchard Heights. Why did that come about? Do you have any idea why there was this kind of dividing line in Northville?
The only thing I can say was, my feeling is that Orchard Heights was more of the elite part of town, and Bealtown was the working class, and same with Northside was the working class, which would be north of Main Street. When we had games or anything, anybody north of Main Street, we always played together. Anything south of Main Street, they always played together.
Hmm. It wasn't a rivalry as such. It was still a friendly situation,
oh, yes.
Wasn't it? It wasn't.
Yes, very friendly.
Wasn't any ill feeling about living on one side of town or
not
the other,
word.
Or jealousy, that kind of thing.
No.
Would you say that the Orchard Heights would be newer homes than some of the homes in either the Bealtown or the north side of town?
Yes, they were the newer section.
They were the newer section. Okay, and tended to be probably a more expensive kind of homes.
That's right.
Okay. What about carrying mail? Did you know everybody on your route? Was there a personal feeling with your customers as far as being a mail carrier in those days?
Yes, at that time, you knew where they went to church, who they worked for, where the bills were, who they owed, who their children were. It was more of a like close family association. If you had an old lady on your lug, you could go up and pay her telephone bill for her so she wouldn't have to come down. Now they won't let you do it. And then people still had people in service, sons and daughters, and if the letter came in after we had delivered our routes, one of the carriers, there were three carriers, Joe Litzenberger, Harry German, myself, we would deliver it on our way home.
So it was really a very personal, close relationship between the mail carrier and the customers on his route.
Correct.
And you said there were three mail carriers for the entire area of Northville?
Yes, in the city proper itself.
Do you have any idea, what would you say was the approximate population of the city or town of Northville at that time?
About 4,000.
About 4,000. Okay. And so pretty much everybody knew everybody.
Absolutely.
Even though they may live in the north side, or they may live in Bealtown, or they may live in Orchard Heights, they still, when you went into downtown Northfield, you say hello to people you knew. Spoke to everybody. Okay. Now let's see, you graduated in high school in 1940, and then you went to business school, and you were drafted in 1942, and you were in the infantry for 3+ years. Now, when we were talking earlier, you characterized Northfield as a bedroom community. What do you mean by the term bedroom community?
Well, there was only one or two businesses in Northfield. One was Ford Motor Company. Most of the people that worked there were from the city of Northfield.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about it for commercial activities. The rest was all the people worked either in Detroit or in the surrounding areas.
Okay. That was the Ford valve plant.
Absolutely.
Do you have any idea how many people they employed when it was going full tilt?
They used to run three shifts, and I would roughly say maybe 400 or 500 people.
Okay, so that was a pretty good size operation.
Yes.
And it employed a lot of people who lived in Northville.
Right.
Okay. Now, that you mentioned a foundry. Did that come along later?
No, that was way earlier.
Okay, and how big an operation was this foundry, and what did they manufacture?
They made furnaces, and then they made the Northville Bells, which were quite famous. In fact, they shipped them all over the country. And when I was in the post office, we got a letter from a family in India, that a church that had a Northville Bell, and they wanted to know about the history of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so these bells were primarily church bells then?
And school bells.
Okay. Hadn't thought about whether school, was there a bell on the school that you attended?
No.
No school
bells?
We had
the bell system.
They had the bell system, okay. And the furnaces, what kind of furnaces did they manufacture? Well, they weren't
coal.
Residential.
No, they were, yes, coal furnaces.
Oh, coal-fired furnaces.
Right.
Okay.
For homes.
Okay. Okay, and was that was a pretty good size industry in Northville then?
Yes, they hired quite a few people. I would say it was a large enterprise, but and as the coal furnaces went out, where that went down the drain, like the other, a lot of other businesses.
Okay, where was that foundry located?
That was at the corner of Katy and East Main Street.
Katy and East Main Street. Okay, so that's pretty much close to the downtown area now.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and that's gone, long gone.
Yes.
Were there any other businesses or industries in the early history of Northville that were there besides the foundry and the Ford valve plant?
There was a Stinson aircraft.
Stinson aircraft.
They're Stinson airplanes.
Okay.
And then years ago they had a furniture which was right close to where the foundry was, that made church pews.
Oh.
Church furniture.
Okay.
Church pews. And
I understand that there was a fire.
Yes, that burnt down.
That was destroyed by fire. Would that have employed some of the Northville residents, you think?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, and then what others that might employ Northville people? Did Stinson Aircraft employ Northville people, as far as you know?
Oh, you're getting way beyond me, but yes, I know some that worked there.
Uh-huh. So Stinson was there before you came to Northville?
Yes.
Okay, before you came to Northville?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. But you do know that there were some Northville residents that worked there?
Yes.
Okay, so as far as employment in Northville then, those that lived in Northville, they could work at the Ford plant, the valve plant, they could work at the foundry, they could work at Stinson Aircraft, or they could work at this furniture. And I knew the name of that. It wasn't Globe Furniture. Globe Furniture, okay. Which eventually was destroyed by fire. Were there any other?
Well, they also had the institutions which were outside of the city of Northville.
Okay, I'm glad you mentioned that. What institutions?
The Mayberry Sanitarium.
Okay.
Which was a tuberculosis sanitarium.
Right.
And they had Detroit House Correction.
Okay.
A penal institution.
Okay.
And then they had Wayne County Training School, which was a home for wayward children.
Okay. Okay, and these were outside of the Northville city limits proper, but were in this area?
Northville Township, yes.
Okay.
Detroit House Correction was, part of it was in Plymouth Township, but part of it was in Northville Township.
Okay. And so some of the residents of Northville may have worked there?
Yes.
Okay. Speaking of that House of Correction, brings to mind the one of the interviewers told me about the Wayne County Fair and how some of these inmates at the House of Correction would make furniture, and they would also grow fruits and vegetables and would have these on display at the Wayne County Fair. I'm assuming that you attended those Wayne
yes.
County Fairs.
They also had registered dairy cattle too. picked up quite a few prizes. The Wayne County Training School did, and the Joint House Correction did too.
Okay, they did raise dairy cattle then?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It was a big farm, and they raised all their own food out there.
Ah, okay. So this gave these in. I don't want to use the word inmates, but it gave them something to do. Then,
right?
They raised their own food. And,
yes.
Okay.
Good.
Okay. Let's talk about for a few minutes about as a young boy growing up. What you would do for recreation in Northville?
Well, like I say, it was divided into North and South. The young people on the North side, we used to play kick the can, duck on the rock, capture the flag, and we made our own recreation, and it was nothing planned. It was spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
You played baseball, you had an old wrapped up baseball with friction tape, you couldn't afford a good baseball. And basically, that was about it.
Okay, so you made your own entertainment then?
Yes.
Now, I do know that there was a theater here, what is today the Marquee Theater. The original theater, as I understand, burned down. Maybe that's not where the Marquee was, but somebody told me there had been a fire. Somebody told me they thought there was an opera house here at one time.
It was on the corner of Center Street and Dunlap.
Okay. Now, when they say opera house, did they in fact bring legitimate theater into Northville for performances?
Yes. This was way before my time, but they did.
Yeah.
Henry Ford was negotiating to buy it to move to Greenfield Village.
Oh, is that right?
But the deal fell through for some reason. In fact, the last time I was in it would be back in the early 40s. The stagecoaches were still there.
Was this opera house on the second floor of a building?
Yes.
It's on the second floor.
Second floor.
Kind of unusual to have an opera house on the second floor. But you were actually in that building?
Yes.
Was it still being used then, or just standing vacant?
No, it was standing vacant.
Standing vacant.
They had a few stores would be in there once in a while. There was a feed store in there for a while.
Okay. Did you play sports?
Yes.
Were you in sports in high school?
Yes, I played basketball and baseball.
Basketball and baseball. I've heard quite a bit about the rivalries between Northville and Plymouth. I'm assuming that was true.
Yes, it was.
In both the...
Sometimes it got a little heated. The Northville kids did not have much to do with Plymouth, and Plymouth didn't like Northville too well.
But I understand that Northville gave a good account of itself.
Once in a while. Once in a while.
So then you were on both the basketball and the baseball team.
Yes, the sports were not a big thing in school. Not like it is now.
Uh-huh.
Both of it was on education, studies, and it was on sports.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you didn't pass your grades, you didn't play sports. The teacher did not upgrade your grades either.
Okay, so eligibility. You had to maintain that eligibility to play. Where did you play your baseball games?
Baseball games were played at Cass Benton Park.
Oh, okay, just in one of the diamonds that was there in the park then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Who took care of Cass Benton Park at the time? Was that a county park?
The Wayne County.
Wayne County maintained the park.
Right.
Okay.
In fact, they said the baseball diamond here was one of the only one better in the state was Tiger Stadium.
Is that right?
Briggs Stadium, whatever it was called at that time.
Okay, so because the school used Cass Benton Park, then the kids didn't go there and mess it up.
No.
It was taken care of.
Well, there was a man by Mr. Hodgkins that run it. He run it with an iron hand.
Mm-hmm.
There was no fooling around in the parks.
No, that's good. Okay, and then the basketball would be played, and you had a, I'm assuming it was a gym in the high school.
Yes, still there.
Okay. Now, two different high schools. The high school that you went to is not the same high school that the students today go to.
No.
What happened to the earlier high school?
They're still using, I think, for special ed classes.
Okay. Okay. Now, I do know that there was a fire in one of the elementary schools. It wasn't the school that you went to, was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So that school...
That was destroyed.
Destroyed by fire. And after that fire occurred, do you remember what grade you were in?
I was either the seventh or eighth grade.
Okay, so you were already up in the high school.
Yes.
Then. Okay. And I've been told that the elementary kids had to be shifted around for...
vacant houses. And
right. And that the new building was built by the WPA.
Correct.
Okay. Now, let's see, some more questions here. Okay, as far as social activity and recreational activity, you made your own. Okay.
Now, for social activity, maybe no one has mentioned this to you. Saturday night was a big social deal.
Uh-huh.
People would drive uptown, park their cars, and then at night they'd do their grocery shopping. That's where you met everybody. The farmers would come in out of the farms and used to shop once a week, and that was on Saturday night.
Saturday night. Okay. Okay, and of course, shopping in those days, what kind of stores would they go to shop in, right in town, I'm assuming?
Well, at that time, there was the Wool Grocery Company and the C.F. Smith store, and that was about the grocery stores here in town at that time,
uh-huh.
Back in the early 30s.
Uh-huh.
And they had the owner of the grocery store, the manager, they had a little counter in the center, and that's where they stood, and you went up and picked up your groceries off the shelves.
Uh-huh. Okay, and the farmers would come into town, and then the residents of Northville would be into... You turned it off just for a minute. Okay, we were talking about Saturday night was a big night in town. So not only the residents of Northville would be in town, but the farmers would come in too. Now, did I hear about a community band? Do you recall anything about a community band?
That was before my time.
That was before
your
time.
They did have a community band.
Okay, that would play on Saturday evening when they were in town?
Yes, they used to have a bandstand right in the middle of Main Street and Center Street.
Yeah.
A band shell.
Okay. And so they might play when they're in shopping on Saturday evening.
Right.
Perform
for them.
Okay, great.
And also for, they had what they call a free show. Merchants would buy a film, and then they would show it outside. It was all free.
Oh.
Salem had one, and Novi had one.
Oh, okay. Now, when you said show them outside, where would they show them?
Out in the... You'd have a big field, and have a screen up.
Yeah.
Sit on the grass and watch the show.
So it was almost like the precursor to the drive-in movies that became popular later on.
That's right.
And the merchants then sponsored it.
That's right.
Okay, then what about refreshments? Would they sell things for the participants to
eat? We didn't have any money to buy refreshments.
No money. Okay, that's unusual. I hadn't heard that before. So that would be a popular activity then. Would be just go sit on the grass and watch
the
film.
I think Salem's was on Tuesday nights, and I think Novi's was on Thursday. If you had enough money to buy gas, you could go to two movies. It didn't cost you.
Did Northville do anything like that?
Not that I remember.
Not to remember. Okay. Okay. All right. Now, you went to work for the post office as a substitute mail carrier, then a regular route. How long did you carry mail?
About 10 years.
Okay. And did, on that same route?
Yes.
It had the same route for that 10-year period. And then what was your next job with the post office?
Then I went inside as a clerk.
And how long did you work there as a clerk?
About 5 years.
5 years. Okay. During that time, was North Hill growing?
Very slow. You'd have maybe one or two new houses at a time.
Uh-huh. Okay. When did the real growth in North Hill start?
I would say the 60s.
In the 1960s?
1960s.
Okay. And why did people then start moving out to North Hill? It was a bedroom community. There wasn't any particular great industry out here, so they moved just to move out of the city to come out here?
North Hill had an excellent school system.
Okay.
And North Hill is a pretty town.
Uh-huh.
It was a small town, but it was pretty.
Uh-huh.
Everybody was friendly. You could stand on the street corner and speak to 99% of the people
mm-hmm.
that went by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think basically because it was friendly in the school system.
Okay, so the school system had a very good reputation.
Yes.
How long, do you recall, was Mr. Ammerman the superintendent here? I know he had been a principal. And then the principal died. Not the principal. The superintendent died. And then Mr. Ammerman became acting superintendent, but then... eventually he was appointed as superintendent.
Well, I couldn't, but it was years, I couldn't tell.
Several years. Then.
Several years.
Okay, and it was a highly respected educator.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, very good. You worked as a clerk for 5 years.
Yes.
And still it was that situation where you knew everybody in town. A lot of people come in town to get their mail, or was the mail usually... Oh, what about the farmers? Was there mail delivered to them?
Yes, we had two rollouts at that time,
back in
the late 40s.
Okay.
Then we went into, which was kind of strange, we went into three different counties. We were about one of the only post offices went into three different counties to deliver mail.
Hmm.
We were into one, two, three, four townships. We went into Salem Township, we went into South Lyon Township, Novi Township, Norfolk Township, and we also went into Livonia Township, which is now the city of Livonia.
Was this primarily because they didn't have their own post office?
Well, Salem had their own post office, but they did not have a rural route out of it.
Okay.
Novi had their own post office.
Okay.
And they didn't have their own.
No rural route.
No rural routes.
Okay. So rather than coming into town to pick up their mail, then the mail was delivered on a rural route to the farmers?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And then you, after clerking for 5 years, and you're still with the post office, and what was your next position?
Then I became assistant postmaster.
Assistant postmaster. What was your primary responsibility then? Well, you probably had many responsibilities.
Running the post office.
Running the post office, okay.
The postmaster's job was a political appointment.
Strictly a political appointment.
And they did not do too much work.
Huh. Okay. And now you told me that the position now has been done away with, has a new title now.
Yes. It's called the Supervisor of Postal Operations.
Uh-huh. Is what used to be assistant postmaster.
That's right.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about, because you mentioned politics, let's talk a little bit about government. And of course, until you got out of high school and came back from service, you probably didn't have too much interest or knowledge about the kind of government operation there was in Northville. But as a small town, do they have a mayor? Do they have a business manager?
They had a mayor and a city council.
Uh-huh.
It was the more of the mayor was not really, he would vote if they had a tie at the council.
Uh-huh.
But it was a weak mayor situation.
Okay. Was it a volunteer position or a paid position? Full-time or part-time?
It was part-time, I think. At that time, I think they got something like $5 a meeting.
Uh-huh.
They met once a month.
Okay. Okay, and then I'm assuming once North Hill started growing, Then they had to go to a different system of operation.
They went to a city manager.
City manager. And then also had a mayor.
Yes.
City manager and a mayor, which is still true today.
Which is still true today.
Okay. I understand the early police department was a one-man police department. At the time that you were growing up, was there more than one police officer?
Well, you had the chief of police, which was Bill Safford at that time, and then you had a night watchman. They call it a night watchman.
Uh-huh.
And then over the period of years, they've had quite a few chief of police. Joe Denton was a superman.
Uh-huh.
Kept a tight rein on the city of North, but there was not much crime here at that time. Maybe a little speeding and a little drinking, but that was about it.
Yeah. Okay, now, night watchman, what would his responsibilities be? Was he in a car, just kind of patrolling the area, or was he in a police station?
Most of the time, he was walking, and he would check the businesses, see if the doors were locked.
Yeah.
That was about it.
Okay. Today's Northville Fire Department is still, I think, a volunteer department.
Yes.
Okay, and that
excellent fire department.
And that was true then also.
Yes.
It was a volunteer.
Right.
Somebody else told me that if there would be a fire at night, the gal that was worked at the telephone office, her responsibility was to call the volunteer firemen. Do you remember any of that?
Well, they still have the siren.
Yeah.
They used to blow the siren.
Yeah.
And they had on the four corners of Main and Center Street, if they wanted the policeman, they used to have a red light up there, and they turned the red light on. That's when they knew he was wanted on the phone.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
That was before Reddy was in cops.
That's right, yes. And so that's the way they took care of, they needed a police officer, they needed a fireman, then they had to contact him.
Right.
Okay. Let's see, what else can we talk about here? Now, you have how many children?
I have two boys and two girls.
Have any of them stayed in this Northville area?
I have a daughter who's a nurse. She lives in Saline.
Mm-hmm.
She works at St. Joe's Hospital in emergency.
Uh-huh.
One son lives in Wall Lake. My oldest daughter is a major in the Army. She's in Germany at the present time.
Uh-huh.
My other son is in California.
Okay. So none of them stayed in Northville, although two of them have stayed fairly close.
Fairly close.
Okay. If I was to ask them what they felt about Northville, how do you think that they would answer me in terms of the changes that have occurred in Northville? In fact, I'll ask you that question. Northville now now we have Northville and the Northville Township, and Northville has grown, and you said it started to grow in the 1960s. How do you feel about the changes that have taken place in Northville, as opposed to the small town where everybody knew everybody, you as a mail carrier knew everybody, even as an assistant postmaster, you probably knew most of the residents?
I don't think it's for the best.
Uh-huh.
You could, like I said before, you could walk down the street and speak to everybody. You knew what their, not their personal business, but you know where they worked, where they went to church, and if something went wrong, you knew there was something wrong, and you cared.
Mm-hmm.
People don't care anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's maybe because it's getting bigger, and they just don't like to see changes.
Mm-hmm.
I think back in the 40s it was a lot better.
Mm-hmm. But you've continued to live here in Northville, and you retired when?
1977.
So you've been here 12 years since you retired.
Right.
I'm assuming you still feel Northville is a good place to live.
Oh, yes.
Despite the changes.
Yes.
You spent your life here, and this is a place that you want to stay.
I still know a lot of people. I think that makes a difference.
Uh-huh. Okay. Let me see. Do you have any particular interests or hobbies besides carrying mail? What did you do for hobbies or interests?
I used to do a lot of hunting.
Yeah.
But I lived on Bay Slide Road just east of Center Street. We used to walk out the back door and start hunting. Well, that's gone down the tube now.
Yeah.
Mostly they would go camping now, up with my trailer.
Okay, when you were hunting, what did you hunt for?
Rabbits, pheasants.
Okay.
Squirrels.
Okay. So you didn't have to go very far, and you had woods where you could go hunting.
Yeah, just anything north of what we call 8 Mile now was all open land.
Uh-huh.
It was all farmland.
Now, did you have to get permission from the farmers to hunt on their land, or?
No, because you knew them.
You knew?
There was a Miller Boys, and you didn't have to ask at that time.
Yeah.
Because nobody did any damage.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you mentioned the Miller Boys. What about some of the prominent names in Northville? And as a mail carrier, you would certainly know some of the families and what their contributions were to Northville. As you can recall, mention some of them and why they were prominent.
Well, it was the Yerkes, which started the Northville Lumber Company. Don Yerkes was the last Yerkes to own it. Then there were Eatons and Bryans. Mr. Bryan worked for a Ford Motor Company, but they also had Northville Real Estate. And then there was Pete Ely, who was mayor of Northville. He worked for Detroit Edison. And that's about the only prominent ones I can think of. There was a Schrader's who owned Schrader's funeral home, which mm-hmm. is out of business now, and Schrader's Furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was Casterlines, who started the Casterline Funeral Home in 1938.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Yerkes probably would be the most prominent name of those that you've mentioned. Did they own a lot of land around here?
Yes, they owned the land, which would be north of Novi Street. In fact, Novi Street cuts right through the farm now.
Mm-hmm.
Novi Road was a east boundary, and the Great Street was the west boundary. In this area where we are right now, which is Horton Street east of Baseline, or north of Baseline, was owned by the Yerkes at
mm-hmm.
one time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think the Yerkes earned about 4 or 5 farms. Most of it was north of Baseline Road.
Uh-huh. What kind of farming did they do?
That was general farming.
General farming, which might include dairy.
Dairy and cash crops.
Cash crops. There were some fruit farms out in this area, too. In fact, I think they still exist, don't they?
Yes, there was Foreman's Orchards.
Yeah.
Which is out on West 7 Mile Road. They were the big ones.
All right, now there's still some horse farms around here. And I'm assuming the horse farms came about because of what eventually became Northville Downs. Back in those days, it wasn't like it is today. And the Wayne County Fair, as I understand, was held down where Northville Downs is now, and I also understand the football team used to play their football games down there in the middle of the field.
That's right. Inside the track.
Inside the tracks.
Where they played football.
Okay.
But the surrounding area was all farms, and it was general farming, dairy, cash crops.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Let me just turn this off for a minute here and then take a look at our notes. turn the tape on because there are a couple of interesting things that I thought we should put on this tape. We talked a lot about Elmer and his growing up in Northfield, and haven't talked too much about Mrs. Yerkes, and I asked the question, how did you, Mrs. Palko. And I asked the question, how did you happen to meet? And you said that was kind of an interesting thing. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, my folks and my wife's folks were friends for years. And when her brother got married, they had the reception at the American Legion Hall on Main and Dunlap, Center and Dunlap. And I had nothing to do that Saturday night, so I decided it's a free meal, so I'll go. And that's where I met my wife, Ruth. After that, we started dating and got married in 49.
How long did you go together before you were married?
2 years.
2 years. So it wasn't any rush thing then?
No, it wasn't a rush thing.
Well, that's great. So you went for a free meal and you ended up with a girl and you were eventually married. Now, this house that you're living in now, and you lived in this house ever since you were married?
That's right. My dad and I built it.
Okay.
My brother helped. Judd Hicks, who my dad worked for, helped a little bit too.
Uh-huh. And this is a very nice house. And your wife was commenting about how well built this house was. So I think there'd be a little different in the standards of home building today than the standards of home building in those days.
Yes.
Now you told me that you bought a double lot, and the lots were owned by whom?
The lots were owned by Harold Church.
Okay.
And who at that time worked for Noel's Lumber Company. He owned this whole street at that time between Baseline and 8 Mile Road.
Okay. At one time, was this property part of the Yerkes farm?
Yes.
Okay. Part of the Yerkes farm eventually sold off, and then...
Well, no, it went back. Someone bought it, and then it went back for tax sale.
Ah.
That's where Mr. Knowles bought it.
Ah.
And then Mr. Church bought it from Mr. Knowles.
Okay, so it was a tax sale, then, the property
That's
was
right.
acquired. Okay. And you mentioned, and I don't know whether you might have mentioned it on tape or not, how much you paid for the lots and how much they'd be going for today.
Well, I paid $450 for one lot. Now they're in the category of about $34,000. They sold one just about two blocks from here for $34,000.
And what size are these lots?
80 by 125.
So these are big lots, then.
Yes, comparison to new lots now.
Well, I can understand you saying that you want to stay here because you got a nice house and you got a nice piece of property here. So, well, that's great. Anything else that you care to mention?
Not that I can think of. That would be.
Well, I appreciate this interview. As I said, this is the Oral Histories Project, and I'm Francis Durham, and I do appreciate taking your time to speak to me.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you.